to sound cynical, but like they're literally just trotting out your childhood memories and just like serving it like half warmed over and being like, here, and people eat it, you know?
Well, it's just honestly, Brian, we live in America and a lot of people eat shit every day for lunch, dinner, and breakfast. So
the Epic Film Guys podcast. Do we have to do this?
Yeah.
God.
I mean, we are the epic, in parentheses, film guys. I mean, even though I know it wasn't shot on film, you guys saw it. I didn't. And I want to hear you talk about it. So I'm the audience member right now.
Oh, is it?
This isn't really a film. It's a tech demo. It's a very slick looking tech demo.
It's amazing what you can do with a really big budget.
It's amazing what you can do with computers nowadays.
Like everybody's gonna say it, and everybody that's seen it has said it. It looks great. It does look fantastic. It looks very photorealistic. It's amazing to think, like, the whole time, like, while I was watching it, there were certain moments during Jon Favreau's The Lion King live action, I'm air quoting right now, audio audience, remake of The Lion King. And I had to kind of pinch myself at a few different moments and be like, this isn't like just a nature documentary, because it does look that good. So we're getting that out of the way up top.
It's an impressive technical achievement because it hasn't really been done before to this scale. I mean, we saw with the Jungle Book what Favreau was kind of dipping his toes into, and that movie was extremely impressive as well. But there was always that like kind of artifice of CGI, but they've perfected it with this movie to where
it's because I think times, in the Jungle Book, because you still have Mowgli as he's a real person still inhabiting, you know, a green screen set, it still gives you that kind of point of reference. Lion King does not have that. There is not a lick of thing, like nothing in this film is real. Absolutely not one single shred of it.
You know what the Jungle Book also had or did that this movie did not, was its own sort of identity in terms of the story. The Jungle Book, it definitely hit all of the same beats as the animated film, but it was more structured. It had like a more, like a three-act structure. It kind of held closer to the original book. This version of The Lion King, it's one of the laziest and most nakedly cynical movies I can remember seeing in recent memory, because it's the same movie, virtually shot for shot, scene for scene, line for line, song for song, the exact same movie. And once you get past the novelty of, wow, everything looks so lifelike, everything looks so real, the movie becomes incredibly boring, because you're watching the same movie that you've watched 1,000 times over growing up, or however many times you've seen it. I mean, I used to watch this all the time growing up. It's the same movie, just slower and worse, and without a sense of visual style or flair, because it's made to look like a nature documentary. So yes, it's impressive that it looks realistic, but what you're missing from this version is, you know, a sense of expression and
heart.
Emotion. And
the word you're looking for is heart.
Yeah, heart and soul and color. Like, if you watch the original, and I watched it pretty recently, like a week or two before I saw the new one. So it's still amazing just how vibrant that world is and how the animators created a sense of choreography. Like in the I Just Can't Wait to Be King scene in the original, they have, you know, Simba and Nala, you know, sliding off of elephants' trunks and flipping around in the air, and all of the animals kind of form together to do like a create a kind of ballet. In this version, they're just walking and singing the song. Like, it's so boring to watch because all of the magic has been just drained from the film, and what you get is photorealistic looking animals doing photorealistic looking things, but there's never any sense of magic or wonder or, you know, it's animated. If you're gonna make it animated, and I said this about Aladdin too, like if you're gonna have a CGI parrot, have the CGI parrot do something that a regular parrot could not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so, I think there's a great, and I mean a great attention to detail in making the animals move and really feel like real animals in the film. But that's entirely to its detriment because this is the fucking Lion King and it's not a fucking nature documentary because right. The animals can still talk.
And sing.
That's and sing. And it completely, like, it kind of, like, forces this kind of weird divorce of things in your brain where you're like, this is really beautiful scenery. Oh, this is like a nature to, oh, now they're talking. Oh, now they're singing. And like, it just doesn't fit. And like the actors are doing voiceover performances and they're giving voiceover performances. They're talking, they're saying the dialogue, but you just don't feel anything because it's just an animal just sitting there with an animal expression on its face. Just like, yep, there it is, me and the lion.
And look, I love animals. I believe that animals have souls. I believe they have emotions, but you can't really read it on their face because it's an animal. So that's why, like, the actors, as you said, are really trying to emote and give a performance.
But the visual isn't giving them anything to work with. There's no companion to that. So when you see it on screen, like, you're hearing anguish or excitement or sadness or happiness or whatever in a character's voice, but then you look at the animal and it's just
an animal
just doing nothing. And that's the biggest problem that this film has, is it's so divorced from reality. It's so devoid of any kind of emotion or anything. And this is the fucking Lion King. The Lion King, like the animated version, like it reduces everybody to just like a blubbering mess. Like, it's a really effective, really emotional film, and this film just loses all of that because it decides to make this really pretty looking glorified nature documentary. And that's just what, and let me posit this to you, Loisos, because I've been putting this to other people that have reviewed the film and everything. Like, we see what Disney's doing with Mulan. Like, they're completely approaching it in a completely different angle. You know, a lot of it's out of respect because they don't want to be, you know, just offensive to Chinese culture or whatever the case is. But they're completely redoing Mulan. Like, it's going to be a completely almost, I mean, there'll still be a lot of similar elements, but different film from the animated version. Why doesn't, like, Disney, and the problem with it is, and we talked about this, joked about it before the show, they've got the top 7 grossing films of the year so far. Endgame just beat Avatar for the top box office forever. Everybody's so excited about it. But like, this is the kind of just lazy, cheap schlock that Disney can make. Oh, it's great. It's really expensive schlock. They put some caviar and like wrapped some gold tinfoil around it, but it's still just a diaper full of shit. It's just not good. Why didn't, like, you know what would be a great movie? Make it a silent movie. Don't let the animals fucking talk. Just make this movie, but just with no dialogue and with no songs, but just a nature documentary where you just to see the actions and like see if it, like just see what it would work like.
Well, because that's too different. Like, you here's the thing. You can't deviate too far from The Lion King. I mean, we saw with Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast that they're scared of deviating too much because those films are so iconic.
Well, we see what happens when they do with films like Dumbo, where they completely deviate in the wrong direction.
Right. But take a look at, you know, Pete's Dragon, which took the original, which is a piece of shit, and simplified it and made it a sweet,
yeah, literally,
you know,
only
simple story.
The only thing they took from it was Pete and
Boy,
a dragon. That's
yeah.
literally it, yeah.
But so, you know,
but that's not a huge, huge property like The Lion King is.
Right. So the Lion King is so iconic. People expect to have the songs and you know, Disney wants that huge cast list that they can, you know, grab as many fans of Beyonce and Donald Glover and whatever to go see the movie and buy the soundtrack album. Like, it's so, like I said, it's so nakedly cynical. I see what you're doing, Disney, and it's so, it's lazy because it's exploiting our childhood memories to make a easy buck. And I want to read something. This is off of Wikipedia, but this is something that I had been interested about before the movie came out. So when the trailer first came out, Jon Favreau went on record and said, Some shots in the 1994 animated film are so iconic that I couldn't possibly change them. But despite what the trailer suggests, this film is not just the same movie over again. It's much longer than the original film, and part of what we're doing here is to give it more dimension, not just visually, but both story-wise and emotionally. This remake is making changes in certain scenes as well as structure. The original film's main plot points will remain unchanged, but the film will largely diverge from the original version. This film did not largely diverge from the original version. It's The Lion King. It's the exact same story that we've seen before. Same dialogue, same shots. It's just extended ever so slightly to give us pointless scenes that we don't need to see. There's a really extended scene that's like, why is this in the movie, where Nala sneaks away from Pride Rock to go find Simba? And it's like, why are we watching this? It's not necessary. It's just padding to make the movie longer. And they also cut out pivotal scenes of the movie. That the whole crux of the film, the whole message of the film from the original version, is that scene where Rafiki hits Simba over the head with his staff. And then when he tries to do it a second time, Simba dodges. And it's to teach him the lesson that, you know, the past can hurt. You can either run from it or learn from it. That scene's not in the movie. So what lesson is there to be learned from this? I don't know why they cut that, if they thought that, like, oh, we shouldn't spell it out for the audience. But the audience is children. And let me tell you, I was bored out of my mind watching the movie because, again, there's nothing on screen to capture the imagination. And there was a kid sitting next to me, and maybe about 20, 30 minutes into the film, he was bored out of his mind. He was, you know, fidgety. He had some crayons, and he started like playing with the crayons as if they were action figures. Like, kids are going to be bored by this thing because there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing to capture the imagination. And people will be tricked into liking it or thinking that they had an emotional reaction to it because of their memories attached to the original film. This movie is not doing anything on its own to establish itself as an emotional experience or to trigger, you know, new emotions in an audience. It's so, I'm just getting incensed talking about it because it is so cynical and it's draining the magic from these movies. I just imagine the hardworking animators in 1994 who brilliantly, you know, envisioned each shot. There's some amazing, like, I'm not going to say cinematography, but just like the visuals in the original film, and the animators sweated to hand draw each individual frame. And it's a gorgeous, towering achievement. And this is just a pale imitation of that, taking, you know, the hard work is done for them. All Disney needed to do was hire talented, you know, computer graphics artists and sit back and count the money. I mean, it just really just does establishes Disney as the most evil monopolistic corporation out there making movies, and they're dominating the box office, and you know, this movie has an A cinema score, audiences are really loving it, it's making a ton of money, breaking records, and good for Disney, I guess. But I'm so sick of this. I'm looking forward to Mulan because, like you said, it looks like they're doing something different with that. It looks like House of Flying Daggers or something. So they're deviating from the source material, or they're trying to stick as close to the source material as possible to deliver a film that's different from its animated counterpart. This is it's soulless, and it hurt me to watch.
It's
Brian rants over, but
it's soulless, God. And it's safe, and it's just emotionless, and like when you see iconic scenes like Mufasa dying, you know, and Simba, like you just don't feel it the same way because like you're just not invested in those characters. Like, they just don't sell it very well. Like, you said it exactly correct. It's just a pale imitation of it. Like, a lot of the film gets much better when Timon and Pumbaa show up, but the animated film gets much better when Timon and Pumbaa show up. Like, it's already a great movie, and then it just becomes even better because they show up. Like, it's the same way in this movie, and like, I mean, Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen, I think, do an admirable job. I think they,
oh yeah, they're having fun with it.
They do pretty well. I like James Earl Jones coming back in this one. I actually like Chiwetel Ejiofor. I actually think he does a decent job as Scar. He's not Jeremy Irons. Everybody knows it, but
he doesn't capture any of that, because Jeremy Irons, that's like a extremely hammy performance, and he's having fun with it. Chiwetel Ejiofor is like trying to do like a more grounded evil Scar, but he's not. It doesn't sound like he's having fun with it, and you know, Beyonce is not a great
Beyonce's
actress.
Fucking horrible.
I think she gives a great performance in Dreamgirls, which, as we were talking about earlier, is one of the best musicals ever made.
Every line read she gives in this film is atrocious. It's just, it's so poorly delivered.
Yeah, and you mentioned James Earl Jones, and I was talking to, and let me make no mistake, if I were not asked by an attractive woman to go see this movie with her, I probably would not have gone, but we were talking after the movie, and I mentioned the fact that, like, they just cast James Earl Jones again in the role, and she's like, well, no one could top that performance, you can't replace James Earl Jones, and I'm like, then just don't. I mean, just don't make the movie then. Like, I don't know. They could have just used his old audio because it's all the same dialogue. For all we know, for all we care, they could have done that. And the same with the instrumentation of the songs. Like, they sound exactly the same as they do in the original, just with different artists singing it, different cast members performing the songs. At least in Aladdin, like, they remixed the songs, they rearranged them to make them, they kind of gave it like a funky, like, Bollywood vibe to the songs, so it's different, you know. In Will Smith's songs, they gave it like a hip-hop vibe. In this, it's just the same.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah,
it's a carbon copy, and it just makes me angry, because I think about, you know, the kids going to see this movie, and this might be the only version that they see. You know what I mean? Like, parents will take their kids to see it. You know, nostalgic millennial parents will take their kids to see it because it's The Lion King. And it's the same movie, just with none of the heart or imagination or just visual brilliance of that film. So what you're left with is just this, like, this
a nature documentary
skeleton.
With
it's a nature
animals.
Documentary.
That's all it is. And it's just devoid of any, like I said, it's just hollow. It's such a hollow, just empty shell of a film. You see it. The only thing I was thinking the entire time is just how much more I enjoyed the animated version of the film. I'm putting like a 3 on it. Like, I legitimately, like, the visuals, they don't even factor into part of the rating, because I love your nature documentary, Disney. Like, yeah, it's great. Like, it looks so fucking good. That's awesome. But there's nothing here of substance. It's like you just stuck a camera out in the jungle and then threw a bunch of actors talking over it. Like, it's just, it's not a good movie. It's not good.
But I would have preferred that, because at least that would have meant that they went to Africa and filmed real animals.
Right?
And it's so, like, if you create something in a sterile computer controlled
environment. There was a midpoint. There was some point in the creative process where this thing went one step too far. Like, when it decided to just make all of the animals 100% realistic looking, instead of being like a little anthropomorphic or whatever the case may be. Like, so you could see, like, you know, young Simba, like, smiling and, like, you know, having fun when he's playing with young Nala. Like, when you take those things away, you're just watching cats play.
Or when Simba's mourning the death of his father and he's calling out for, like, for help,
yeah,
which is the saddest scene in the original, still emotionally devastating for people. There's just no emotion on that cat's face. And actually, it was like when they showed it the first time, I didn't laugh, but when they flashed back to it in slow motion, I burst out laughing when they showed Mufasa falling, and then they tried
shot
to mimic
of him going
the,
like, no.
Yeah, they tried to mimic the shot of the of the camera pulling back from him in the animated version, but when the CGI cat shouts no, his mouth just opens and it looks like he's just going meow. that's all I could envision when I saw that. So I burst out laughing, and that's not the emotion that they want you to go that they're trying to go for it. They want you to experience. So I'm giving a 2 to this movie. 1 for the visuals of, like, the novelty of, wow, look how realistic everything looks, and another point for Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner. I admit it was pretty humorous to hear Seth Rogen's laugh come out of a warthog, just like, you know, I got a kick out of that. But the rest of the movie is just, like, I was bored out of my mind watching this movie. And general audiences are enjoying it, but that's what they've come to accept at this point. Like, all right, it's another Disney movie, so hook up the IV and, you know, whatever. Just let Disney do whatever. And I'm tired of it. And I thought the same thing about Toy Story 4. I'm like, I'm just not going to see that movie. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure lots of people worked very hard on it, but I just have no interest in watching that. And I felt the same about The Lion King going in. I tried to give it a fair shake, but my God, again, it just establishes Disney as like the most evil corporation in the world. If this is what they have to offer. And of course, this is what makes the money. So I'd love if films like The Art of Self-Defense, for example, were to reach an audience, any audience at all, and make any sort of money, because that's a film that is original and clever and unique and has a distinct style and voice. This does not.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The Lion King.
So yeah. What's your rating? Did you give a rating?
He gave it 2.
Two.
Wow. It's the Lion King. So, like, you know, just
I go give watch the animated version. Animated version gets a 10 out of 10.
Just go watch the animated version. You're going to feel things because it's actually emotionally investing. Like, yeah, there's just more drawn out scenes in this movie. And since you are,
it's also 40 minutes shorter. Yeah,
you're not emotionally invested in just random animals.
Did you just give the Lion King remake the same rating that you did the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers reboot? Did you really? Wow. It's that bad.
Okay. I mean, yeah. At least, yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like,
I dodged a bullet!
I don't know. And they padded it out with, like, scenes of just animals walking. The scene where Simba leaves Pride Rock, he's just walking in the desert for 5 minutes. The movie opens with, in the original, if you recall, the little mouse running out and Scar, you know, catches it with its paw. In this new version, we follow the mouse for like 10 minutes, like running around. And I'm like, why are we spending time on this? It's bad. Okay, let's move on.
Oh, my Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we really, really do appreciate you tuning into the show every single week here on the Epic Film Guys. Thank you very much to Loy Sauce for shitting all over The Lion King super duper hard.
You know what? It's been I don't think I've ever been as angry about a movie. Maybe the Death Wish remake thing.
Another movie Justin didn't watch. I didn't watch that one either, though.
Listen,
I had to go that one alone.
I didn't purposely skip Lion King. You told me not to watch it, so I can blame you for saying not to watch it. That's on you.
I am saving you so much heartache.
You know what? And Disney does not. Well, I mean, Disney already is making just untold amounts of money.
Top three movies right now at the box office. Top three movies at the box office: Lion King,
but people,
Toy Story 4,
vote with your wallets. Don't let Disney keep doing this. Don't let Disney keep. I mean, I hate to sound cynical, but like they're literally just trotting out your childhood memories and just like serving it like half warmed over and being like, here, and people eat it, you know.
Well,
it's just
honestly, Brian, we live in America and a lot of people eat shit every day for lunch, dinner, and breakfast. So
for myself, for Justin, for the god of podcasting, who is never happier than when he's maiming a small child, that guy, we really, really do appreciate you tuning in each and every single week. And until next time,
we will see you
at the movies.